The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
If you've joined us, you've made a good choice because we're going to deliver something that's quite extraordinary across the next 45 minutes, King.
How extraordinary, Ben?
Well,
we've a bit to talk about.
Well, we have, and we've been talking about it for about 40 minutes off air, and it was magnificent, wasn't it?
So we should have been recording it.
Kingy wasn't recording it. We did about 30 minutes of some of the sharper stuff you've ever seen. How many minutes did we do?
About 20.
20, right. So we did 20 minutes of some extraordinary stuff.
Somebody forgot to put a cable in.
So, Kingy, I want to ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
What has the last three games done for you in terms of your thoughts on the Cats, given that we were in the doldrums? Have you ever been in the doldrums?
Yes, Ben.
When? I was in the doldrums once when this girl that I really like said that there's to be no more contact.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I was in the doldrums.
Was it police issued?
No, it wasn't. There was no need for that, Kingy. But she just said, "Look, I think you know, it's not
working.
It's not me. It's you.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's me."
No,
and I was quite devastated, Kingy. And
how old were you?
About 19.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
locally, or had you moved away?
No, it was local.
Right.
It was local. And
is this lady still local? And 36 years later,
I've seen her a couple of times.
Does it still stand?
Well.
Like when somebody says, "Please don't contact me again," like,
she didn't quite say that, but she said she basically said
that. Was that the polite way of saying?
She said, "Look, it's over."
Yeah.
Anyway, King, she was a real eye opener, and
right.
Anyway, I quite enjoyed my time with her.
Right,
and
but you've seen her again.
Oh, yeah, not having spoken to her, but I did see her. We've seen her a couple of times.
No, so no acknowledgement.
No. I just saw her and she thought, "Oh, is that?" And then I realised it was. So
right.
Anyway, she was before a tonking. She was what they classify as fun.
That's why you're in the doldrums.
I had to, and then it was, you sort of, you've got to keep searching for that again.
Yeah,
you don't always find it. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
The ones who are not fun.
We talk about psyche.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, the Cats, after three games three winning games? What has it changed your thoughts on the Cats as we enter the home stretch to finals?
Yes, slightly.
Right.
Slightly. Well, I still had Geelong this season. If they were to have got to a prelim, that was going to be a pretty impressive effort.
Yep.
I don't think they were going to be a flag winning team. I think I had them finishing sixth at the end of the season.
Which is about where you think they're still top four chance.
But they are still a top four chance.
So what we need...
They need three results.
Brisbane to beat Hawthorn.
Well, sorry, they need six results.
Sorry, Hawthorn to beat Brisbane.
Yep.
We need Fremantle to beat Melbourne this weekend. Both games on this weekend.
And Fremantle to beat Adelaide.
And Fremantle to beat Adelaide. That's the following weekend.
And the Cats have got to win all three.
And if that happens, Geelong will finish fourth.
Correct. And go to Perth.
And make Freo very nervous.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Just an absolute free hit of the highest order.
With Jeremy Cameron back.
Yeah, that'd be a free hit of the highest order, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Max Holmes would be...
He'd be 150 to 1.
Be thereabouts in terms of time frame. It'd be really interesting. We're recording this at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. Just very quickly, we did initially say to those who were asking questions from that would be Thursday lunchtime, but due to a change in schedule for Benny, we had to do it this afternoon. We haven't seen the Cats' injury list yet, but it'll be interesting to see what weeks are now attached to both Cameron and Holmes.
It was 2-4 for Cameron last week, so that'd be 1-3.
And 7-9 might be back to 6-8. Now, 6 is... Middle weekend of the final is semi final weekend. If it was six,
yeah, that'd be. Well, I don't know. Anyway, he's not playing in the short term.
Yep.
If Geelong could make it to a preliminary final, that would be a huge year, yep. I reckon.
And then you get really nervous and upbeat.
Well, you think you can win when you get there, but the reality is probably, you know, who knows? Who knows? But if they could get there. That would be a huge year for the development of the Cats. If you can get more finals into the likes of Humphreys, get a final into Wilshire if he's still playing. Dempsey plays another final. Who knows whether Polkinghorne stays in the team.
Bruin,
Tanner Bruin, Ollie Henry. You just get another year of seasoning on those young blokes. So Sullivan's another one.
DeConing.
So, it would be...
Jai Clark.
The list goes on.
Did you say Mitch Edwards?
Yeah, Mitch Edwards would be another one. I counted 13, I think, of the 23 on Friday night.
So the Cats only had
were 25 or under.
Cats only had 8 premiership players play
on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, I'd have to go back and do the numbers, but I suspect that's a fairly low number over the last, since 2022, of only having 8 premiership players in the team. Yeah,
probably right. And I was thinking to myself that, you know, we no longer now are relying on Cameron and on Dangerfield. Dangerfield has become a bit player. If he plays well, he's icing on the cake. But you're not expecting it, I don't think, and you're not thinking that he needs to play well to win. Cameron, if he plays well, that's great because he is still, you know, far more in the prime of his career than Dangerfield. Stewart's playing good footy. I can't help but think, Kingy, and I've said this a few times, you know, across the podcast this year, that, you know, it's no surprise to me that in the last couple of weeks that Neil and Ollie Henry are playing good footy in the absence of Cameron and Dangerfield. Now, are Cameron and Dangerfield going to play? Yes. But without them there, there's more responsibility, there's more room, there's more freedom for those players. So we're getting a little glimpse as to how it will look down the track because Cameron and Dangerfield aren't going to be there forever. And what you're seeing is you like what you're seeing. I mean, Henry's playing really good footy. Is he going to get it 25 times a game? No. Is he going to bob up and kick you 2 or 3 goals, seemingly?
Mm.
And he's finding a bit more of the footy. His confidence is growing. He's flying for the ball. He's leading. He's one of the few in the last few weeks that's leading up.
Yep.
And marking
and
the footy.
And it helps with a bloke back called
Myers. They've got, as I mentioned last week, they've got the confidence to lead to Myers because he hits up. Smith and these players don't. That's why I just wonder, you know, the pros and cons of trying to lure a player like Toby Green to the side. Is Toby Green a gun? Yes. Is he in the twilight of his career? Yes. Is he still playing pretty good footy? Yes. So in terms of talent, I'm not saying you don't want him, but if you've got Dangerfield, Cameron, and if Jack Martin, if you're right about Jack Martin and he's triggered a clause to play again next year, and then now you've got Polkinghorne developing, you've got Mallor, you've got Myers, you've got Close. If Close, unless he's trade bait, you can't play Martin, Dangerfield, Cameron, Green. I would have thought all in the one forward line.
No.
Now Green, Cameron, and Dangerfield are locks.
If Green
Martin's the odd one out.
Yeah.
And players are going past him. Henry's a better option than Martin.
Polkinghorne
will be a better option than Martin, and you want to get games into him.
Yep.
So I just if he's triggered that clause, I think we can ask. Who have we got on this weekend?
Hoping Steve Hocking will join us.
Do you think we could ask him that?
Well, you can ask whatever you like.
Do you reckon he'd tell me?
Probably not.
No. Anyway,
well,
because he
doesn't handle. That's an Andrew Mackie question.
He must know.
Yeah, but does he have complete oversight on what's happening? Like sometimes you'll let the bakers bake. You've put people into those positions to put their stamp on. You know, list management and contracts and stuff like that. Steve Hocking's dealing with, I would have thought, higher end stuff than that.
Oh, well, you might be right. I would have thought he'd have some idea.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be ticking off. Like, it's not like they're running every contract via Steve Hocking.
No, so. I wouldn't have thought, but you would have thought he'd have some idea. I could just say, do you expect Jack Martin to be playing next year for the Cats? See what he says.
You ask a question.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just, you sort of got to wonder, you're bringing in names, you know, what does it do to the balance of your team? That's the thing. And we much rather need a midfielder. You think Zach Merritt is coming to the Cats?
Well, it's only a hunch. You know, if the coach is
asked. A hunch.
Well, if the coach is.
Quasimodo had a hunch.
He did.
Yeah, big hunch. Right in the middle of the
If you're asking the question as a coach of a player and sending a text message direct, like. That means Geelong have got significant interest in bringing a Zach Merritt to the club. Now, does it mean he will? No, I get that. But it means they're in the game.
We heard Pete Ryan be definitive that Hawthorn were getting Zach Merritt. Now, they're going to get Ben King. Geez, they're going to add nice two very handy players to an already strong side.
Gee, free agency's really worked, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think the Cats...
Free agency's only
What about
worked?
Butters, King? Have you heard anything there?
No, I haven't heard
anything. Well, Mitch Cleary reporting that the Cats are having a meeting with him?
Well, I think everybody's going to meet with him.
Yeah, but you would have thought the Cats had already done that.
Timing?
Well, I mean, if he's meeting with the Cats, He can't have made a decision.
No, correct.
If he's knocked the Cats back, he's made the decision.
Yeah.
So is the meeting actually, if they, is, I wonder whether the meeting is actually happening or whether they're going to ask for it to happen. Because I just cannot fathom that at this point in the season, a deal as big as the Zach Butters deal has not already been done.
Yeah.
There's too many other dominoes to fall to be hanging around waiting till the end of the year.
Because Patrick Dangerfield's deal, let's go back to that in 2015, that was already done.
Bailey Smith has been was done to the Cats long
that was
before.
That was 12 months.
So I just find it very difficult to believe that. I mean, I know other, you know, much lesser deals can be done on the spur of the moment and done much later in the process, but this is a deal that has significant ramifications on your salary cap, yep, on where other players go. It has significant ramifications on what Geelong do, because if Zach Butters says, I'm not coming, then they move on. So they're not just hanging around for Zach Butters, and then he goes, oh, you know, in 4 weeks' time, well, I'm not coming to you, I'm going of the Bulldogs, and Geelong have done nothing in between. So that it just doesn't work like
that. So Butters is not going to Hawthorn.
No.
No.
We're going to get Butters, Merritt, and King. It was landing the flag for the next 3 years, 4 years. No, they cannot possibly get Merritt and Butters and King.
Do we think, so Richmond's obviously in the mix as well, they
well,
think.
Well, I find it like...
That would be a surprise if he ended up at Richmond, I would have
thought. A surprise?
Yeah.
That would be like going to the doctor and going there for a cold, and he says, take your pants off and stand over there, wouldn't it be? And then...
Yeah, no.
What?
I know where you
and
go.
No, no. And then I say, where do I put my pants? And what does he say?
Next to mine.
Yeah, over there next to mine. Oh, anyway, we'll see what happens with Butters, but I cannot believe that the decision hasn't been made. But if he's meeting with the Cats... If he's actually meeting with the Cats, I think that is a very, very, very good sign that he's a very good chance of coming to the Pussycats. Imagine we got Zach Butters, we'd be a bit up and about, wouldn't we?
We would be.
Butters and Merritt, exactly the sort of I mean, I know Butters and Merritt would fit in anywhere, but they're the sort of players we don't have.
Can I?
Whereas Hawthorn have a few of them.
Yeah.
Now, their names aren't Butters and Merritt. They don't have the profile. But McKenzie.
Yep.
McDonald.
Yep.
Ward. They're all elite by foot. You've never heard of these blokes. They're all guns.
And they're why James Warple plays for Geelong.
Yeah. And they're all young. So they have a bit of a spread of that. What they probably don't have is a Smith and a Holmes.
Yep.
Is a Burner who's a territory player. They've got the skillful players. And then they've got Newcomb who's just tough and rugged and gets it 25 to 30 times. They don't have the Smith and Holmes, whereas we don't have that creative type in the midfield.
Yep.
So let's hope the Cats can get their hands on someone.
Can I ask you a question, Ben?
Yes. You don't. You've only if you're not cutting out those gags I just said before.
The loss
they're
of...
Not cut, they know, if anybody has an issue, I will put out my phone number on this podcast and they can ring me direct.
The loss of Nigel Lappin.
Do you want me to do that?
Whatever.
Yeah.
The loss of Nigel Lappin.
Yes. It's huge.
How significant... Is it the biggest loss since Bomber?
It's the biggest loss since Peter Street went to the Bulldogs.
But is
no,
it,
it's massive. It's massive. But
the Bomber loss was covered by Chris Scott pretty competently in 12 months. So is it the biggest loss in terms of Lee Colbert in terms of just... And I'm not talking about... I'm just talking about personnel.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. And, I mean, he's... You know, the amount of... I mean, having a little insight into how he's gone about it from players that have been with us on K-Rock, you know, they all speak really highly of him. But it's not... It's his development. It's his ability to form relationships with players. Now, we know the coach is a very good coach. Is his one-word relationships with players? No. Does he sort of feel that that is somebody else's job? Yes, and that job has been Nigel Lappin's.
Yep.
So his ability to be something of a conduit between the playing group and the coach. When I'm talking the playing group, I'm not suggesting it's Selwood or Dangerfield or Stewart or your top end players.
No.
Just that second to bottom tier that have perhaps are at a bit of a distance to the coach. Nigel Lappin has been the one that has been able to sort of fill that role and been unbelievable at it over a long period of time. Now, he's obviously implemented a program that develops players. And it's one thing to, you know, at that level, you draft a player who has talent, but you're not going to sustain a career unless you're developed at that level of footy. Now, is it going to get you through junior footy and maybe VFL footy? Yes, because you're just better than the bloke next to you, probably.
Tap pure talent.
But you have to be developed in terms of the way you play, working on your strengths, working on your weaknesses. How do you fit in with the team? How does team footy work? All those sorts of things. And we saw it probably a little bit, Kingy. And I know he's playing in a crap team, so it makes it, you know, it probably exacerbates it a little bit. Have you ever been exacerbated? That's a great word.
I've been exasperated. Have it's you? Usually involving you.
Yes. But Harley Reid was one that has an enormous talent, doesn't he?
Yes.
Now he's finding his feet this year, but he just found it a little bit of a struggle. Now, is he young? Yes. Okay. So that, yep. that plays a part. But he still needs to be developed as a player.
Yes.
So Nigel Lappin has been unbelievable at it a long period of time. Now, what do the Cats do in terms of replacing him? Do they look for somebody inside the club already, or do they look for somebody outside the club, which would be something of a risk?
Internally, you then keep the same framework in place with maybe some tweaks to suit the personality of the person taking it. But who is the person internally?
Well, you think Shannon Burns would be one?
Shannon Burns could be one. Chris Lynch is the head of their NGA, not the profile.
Worthington?
Well, Mark Worthington's more your player development, player
Corrigan,
welfare.
The VFL coach?
Mark Corrigan.
Would he be another one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would be really interesting to see how they reshuffle. Because the other thing you've got to factor in, and we don't know this yet, is Nathan Buckley sticking around next year?
Yeah, look at that. That's an interesting
so
one.
So Pete Ryan made an interesting point. If Nathan Buckley still wants to be a senior coach...
He probably hangs around.
He hangs around. If he thinks, maybe I don't want to be a senior coach, I've been through the Tasmania setup... That was a gig I had my eye on. Oh, not in for Essendon, not in for Carlton. When's the next gig come up? Well, the next gig comes up. Is it Richmond? Is it West Coast? Who knows when the next gig comes up? So does he go, well, do you know what? I don't know when the next gig's coming. How old's Nathan Buckley now? I'm going to say he's 55.
50. I think he's even older than that. Is okay. he about 58?
Let me have a look.
I think Pete said he was 58 when he was with us.
When he came. Well, he came into the system in 93 with the Brisbane Bears. And he'd been playing Sandford, but I thought he came. He's 54.
54, so
yeah.
he's...
Just turned 54.
Right.
So, yeah. So he's still... Well, God, Chris Fagan's doing a pretty good job in his late 60s, isn't he? So that's the question. That will...
He's all rib and dick too, isn't he? He's fit, isn't he?
Yeah. Huh?
The... Joey McCullough suggested to me. Yeah, Joey McCullough.
Played for St. Joseph's.
Yeah, the Italian stallion. Mm. Yeah, he's a great fella. He came down and he suggested that he was all...
yeah.
What was he?
Teeth?
All teeth and...
Right, anyway, go on. Can we talk about this
yeah.
rather than you trying to be funny?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Just made me think of how ribbed up Nathan Buckley is.
He is. He's in great nick. Yeah. And he's and
Joseph.
Arguably the best kick at the club.
Yes.
Not doesn't play for him.
No, that's right. Yeah, kicks out for fullback in the training drills.
Yeah, he looks very good.
Yeah.
That will create some, so you know, and then do Kelly and Riley potentially being close to getting a gig, maybe look elsewhere for their further development? Or do they stay in the Geelong system? So there might be some change to the Geelong coaching staff, which then does that change the setup of how their academy works? Potentially.
Possibly.
So there's a little
You'd
bit
You'd be reticent
to
change something that's worked.
Oh, but, you wouldn't know.
But they probably might be forced to.
But it's personnel related.
Yeah.
Like, they are just so lucky that Nigel Lappin, when he left footy, wanted to be involved in footy still, and Geelong had an opening and they appointed him, and what he's given over 18 years is...
He's been amazing.
Yeah, and it's so highly valued at GMHBA Stadium, and compared, you know, externally, those in the know that he's highly valued. Maybe others don't realise how highly valued he is.
I wonder... Kingy, whether the Cats, you know, let him go with their blessing or whether they actually tried to retain him with a deal. You would have thought that Tassie would have, availability to funds perhaps to pay him that Geelong wouldn't. Maybe he's done the hard yards. Well, he's certainly done the hard yards at Geelong and thought there's an opportunity now with his kids are all grown up. They're not at school anymore. Right. Opportunity for him to earn over and above what somebody in that role would normally get. So it'd be interesting. Steve Hocking would have to be... across that in terms of, you would have thought, whether they did try to retain him or whether
absolutely.
It was just time. Yep. Time you've done your time here and we're happy, you know, happy for you that you're moving on and going to a new challenge. But it's probably a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Because you know, it's hard for somebody who's been in that role so long and given everything to the club, and then to say, well, you know, some part of you says, yeah, that's great that you're moving on. Another says, well, geez, we don't want to lose you, so do we offer you something to try and retain you? But anyway, the Cats are going to have to work their way around that. So is he staying around for the remainder of this season?
Yep.
Right. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, well, he's not going to a club that's playing next year.
No, true.
So, and do you know what? Geelong VFL still going. Like, it might only be in a couple of extra weeks. Say if the AFL got knocked out in a elimination final and the VFL boys go into a granny, which you would expect they would based on their record. Even that extra 2 weeks for those guys, for the Hoffmans, Molliers, Hunter Holmes.
Dustin.
You know, guys like that get that opportunity to just continue to work, just to learn a little bit more for another couple of weeks.
There's obviously changed the landscape, and, you know, even the assistant coach obviously losing King last year. Does James Kelly get a look in somewhere? It's seeming like that those doors might be closing a little bit for James Kelly, so he's probably still at the Cats. And Buckley, obviously, a decision to be
Raleigh,
made.
There. Raleigh's gone quieter than Kelly.
Yeah, I think Kelly would be ahead of Raleigh. I'd be staggered if James Raleigh got a senior gig next year somewhere now, I think. But
do you think he'll get one eventually?
Oh,
or does he become one of those ones that becomes
the Tats Lotto numbers as well? I've got no idea.
A Tony Elshaw, Brian Royal sort
just
of type.
His name gets thrown around and never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's potential. Anyway, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But you would have thought Kelly would be ahead, and there's going to be some others in the wings at the moment. I mean, if somebody like an Adam Simpson put his hat back in the ring.
Oh, then, John Longmire might eventually as well.
Yeah, I mean, if Buckley continues to coach at Geelong, you know, there's probably quite a few ahead of somebody like a James Raleigh, I would have thought, that makes you're probably getting... I'd say it's less likely than likely, in fairness.
But there's plenty of people enamoured with Jamie Graham, and Jamie Graham's profile is probably similar to James Raleigh's.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. I mean, we used to speak to Matthew Nix quite a bit when he was an assistant coach, when we were covering more games than just the Cats game, and he was always really insightful to speak to.
When we used to speak to Brendan Bolton?
Yeah, we used to Brendan Bolton, and we used to stand on a crate to talk to us, which was nice. He always was quite, you know, quite good at that kingy, wasn't he?
Ben McPherson. We used to always talk to Ben McPherson.
Ben McPherson?
No, sorry. Ben Matthews.
I was going to say, Ben McPherson? I've absolutely no idea.
I think I've got Dan.
I think he's related. It's Al's brother, is it?
Yeah, yes, Ben Matthews.
Read about the sister. Remember the sister went off the rails a bit? Al McPherson's sister?
Mimi?
Yeah, Al Mimi, yeah. Remember that? Remember that video came?
No, I don't.
Do you know about that, King?
No. Anyway, can I...
Mimi was a bit...
Can we ask him questions?
Fun.
Questions?
Yeah, I love questions, King.
All right. Off the big footy, Howler 41, got it done versus the Pies. Mark O'Connor has become one of my favourite Cats, one of our toughest, reliable kicks, streaming through the middle. And instead of banging long, he pulls his kick late to hit Manor up on 50. Also, Hembroon's defensive efforts to stop a certain Pies goal had me off the couch, and rigid flagpole style. Should we look to rest a Stewart or Atkins this week? I, for one, would be resting Martin after 7 possessions and 4 turnovers. Keep close in. He didn't have a kick, but his pressure and defensive work is needed. Finally, is there a world where Cameron, Neil, Ollie Henry and Jay Polkinghorne can play in the same side? Yes, there is.
I think there is. You need to have a couple of nippy players around them, I think. Polkinghorne is going to be a marking player. He needs to develop some sort of defensive side, but that isn't going to be his one wood. You can already see that. Is he going to be really dangerous in the air? Yes. Is he showing that he's a pretty good set shot for goal? Other than his first game, yes. But you're going to have players in the forward line that offset that. You can't... But yes, those four could play together 100%, and it shapes as a pretty dangerous sort of mix. What's he kicked? 7 goals in 3 games, Polkinghorne. Yeah, look, he's taken some nice marks, and he's been really good. But I agree with O'Connor. He's in career best. How old is Mark O'Connor?
Maybe 28 or 29, I reckon.
29, do you reckon?
Yep.
That old?
Been around for 10 years.
I would have said 27.
Debuted in 2017.
Yeah, right. Well, look it up, Kingy.
I'm about to.
Dude, let your fingers do the walking.
Hello, yellow. Now you're talking.
Yellow pages style.
Mark O'Connor is, what did I say, 28 or 29?
Yeah.
I'll be close.
Yeah. Well,
he's 29.
Yeah, right. Well, he's in...
Turns 30. Do you know his birthday is January 17? Do you know who has a birthday on that day?
Mark O'Connor.
And Muhammad Ali.
Does he?
Yeah. He's January
17. What is he? Stings like a butterfly?
Boats butterfly, like a butterfly stings like a bee.
I knew he did something like a butterfly. What are you, what's your catch cry, Kingy?
I don't have one, Ben.
Huh?
I just survive you. What?
You don't have a catch cry at all?
No. Do you?
Yeah, stay all day.
Good. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, can I move on to Daz Broncos?
Yeah.
I was managed for the game last week. Seems I missed a good one except for that third quarter.
Managed.
Five goals to the Pies in a row thing. Did see that umpire Boy Band was getting a few mentions on the social.
It was shocking.
So Benny must have been doing his best Ken Bruce during the game. 24-7 leaves a lot to be desired. I didn't notice it.
Notice what?
That it was so lopsided. I know you were giving it, but I didn't.
Well, I actually didn't give it at the end. I should have. I gave it out when it was 16-6.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, it went against the Cats. It was one of those games. There was a few. Boy Band paid a couple who were absolutely horrific, but yep. That's par for the course.
What about, and do you know what? Look, I know that they are the TV broadcaster, you know, in trying to engage content and stuff like that. The fact that one of their journos at halftime thought, oh, that Zach Guthrie one, that'll get looked at by the match review officer, it didn't even rate a mention.
No.
Well, Lockie, it was a cracking tackle.
Should have been holding the ball.
It should have been holding the ball.
Lockie Schultz exaggerated the motion. He hit his head on the own ground to try and draw a free kick, which he did.
Correct.
So good play, Lockie Schultz. He drew a free kick.
The umpire got sucked in.
Yeah. Which is, that's been going on since Jesus was, what did he do, Kingy? Since he was the development officer Mount Sinai.
Was he head of academy?
Yeah, he was in their next gen academy.
Do you know how many people were in his academy?
Not many.
12.
Yeah, they were. They had a last supper. And only five of them got drafted.
Glad the Stengel situation has been resolved. Hope all parties walk away feeling they got the best outcome from a sad situation. Hope Tyson gets where he needs to go to feel at peace and at home.
Yeah, that's well said. Is it being ticked off that money is not happening on the Cat salary cap?
We'll ask Steve Hocking on Saturday.
He said he's not across all that shit.
He'll be across that.
Right. I hope so. What do you think else he'd be across? What would you do? Do you just sit back with your feet up and just like pull out a big cube and when things are going well and just sort of have smoke filling your room?
Tyson Stengel, yes. We'll ask.
So that would be an enormous result. The other clubs will be none too pleased.
Well,
that
I think the precedent was set with Bobby Hill, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'm not, other clubs are none too pleased. If you enter into an agreement with somebody, I'm not sure that you can just wipe that agreement away and then everything, all the sins, Kingy, are forgiven on your salary cap.
Mitch Edwards.
Have you ever had your sins forgiven?
No. Mitch Edwards pulls the rising star for the week.
I went to church, Kingy, and I burst into flames.
It's a catch ruck. Got that. Maybe Vardy, the last catch ruck, to get a rising star nom. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
What type of frontal lobotomy do you need to have not to be backing Ollie
Just
Henry?
On that, Mitch Edwards, I said... I can't remember what I said this, King. You said it the first time around. But I said that I didn't think he'd play a game this year.
No, you didn't. We saw him at Carlton.
And he looked tired after about 2 minutes. Yeah. But that's just sort of his demeanor. I mean, he runs like he's a bit tired, doesn't he, at times? But he's actually not. But he's a revelation, Kingy. A revelation.
Yep.
He's athletic. He's starting to sort of get involved. There was a couple of passages to play on Friday night. One when the ball was into the forward line, he ran onto it, and then he took it, and then he sold a bit of candy, handballed it to Shannon Neal, who for some reason didn't run into the open goal, tried to kick it from about 30 metres out when he could have just run all the way in.
He had one bounce, didn't he?
Yeah, but he could have kept running. I have no idea what he's doing. Anyway, the play from Edwards to get it to him, then out of the middle, some of his ruck work in the second quarter when Geelong were, you know, absolutely on fire was superb to Bailey Smith. His ruck work's developing, he moves well, he's physical, his coordination is getting better all the time, and he is going to be a serious player for the Cats. Toby Conway is one that we're going to be able to trade in. Hopefully he comes good,
yep.
A, for Toby Conway's sake, and B, for the Cats' sake, because he could be a real trade bait for the Cats in a couple of years' time if he was to come good.
Andrew Daly, firstly, Edwards gets the nod this week. This is off the KFCX, and for this I extend this Laurel and Hardy handshake. His stocks have been improving each week. Overall team has looked more cohesive. I like that they keep taking the game on, even though turnovers can cost us. Neil also coming alive.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think is that written and authorised by by Andrew Daly?
It is.
He'd love the Gilligan reference.
The Rendered Cat. Hello, gents. Footy is fun again. When do we start our voodoo rituals to ensure Brisbane, the D's and Crows all drop one? Seriously, the Neil Henry Polk Ford line is exciting. Well done to Big Junk on his rising star. Not more of this, please. Enough from Cario. Is Sean Manor the most selfish player since Justin Murphy? Can you think of any others? Yeah, very good player, but he just frustrates old Nuff more than Ben's donkeys.
Yeah, they showed some vision of him. I don't know if you saw it, Kingy, on one of those shows of him. I think Matthew Lloyd might have pointed it out. Or was it Kane Corn? One of them. There's some sort of selfish things that he did. Yeah, there's two or three times he just tried to bite off way more than he could chew and got caught holding the ball. And there was another time when I reckon we actually mentioned it on the coverage where he should have handballed it to Mullen, who was sweeping by. Instead, he had a shot and the ball was marked on the line. I don't know.
Do you have to take the... player that's come through the system the way he's come in, he's probably had to get... And people will argue this with me, but I still think that players at a lower level want to get noticed. And sometimes you have to do some selfish stuff to be noticed and to do the really good, like that stands out. And maybe that's still not out of his game 3 years into the system. You know, and he's the other frustration for he does butcher some opportunities. And I'll always remember the prelim final when he had that opportunity, kick the goal to put him 5 goals up against Brisbane in 2024, missed, went the other end, they goaled, then they get their run on and it's all over for the Cats. Well, obviously the game went deep, but you know what I mean. I'm happy for Sean Manor, and I suspect it's being addressed internally and he's working on it, but the good of Sean Manor outweighs the bad of Sean Manor.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. You mentioned how he does butcher. Every now and then he will butcher. He's actually a pretty good finisher. So I actually don't mind him taking the game on at times because I think he's one of Geelong's better finishers, particularly around goal from sort of chaos footy. You know, he kicked a lovely goal in the first quarter from 50, never looked like missing. I think he's actually, he is a pretty good finisher. So those sorts of players, I actually don't mind taking the game on. Does it go pear-shaped every now and then? Yes. But he's not a player where he's a serial misser and you're thinking, God, why is he doing that? I reckon, are there times when you'd love to see him be a little bit more unselfish? Yes. Is that ever going to go out of his game? Probably not. And is he the guy inside forward 50, sort of from an angle, on the run, around a pack, having a shot at goal? Probably. So I think it's... I'm happy for him to play the way he is. Let's put it that way. Would you love him to see him handball that one to Mullen? Yes. Does he try and break a tackle and get caught? Does that happen all the time? Yes. So that one was a bit different. There was another one where he tried to take them on as well and got caught. But that was a bit different. He was under pressure. And the Mullen one was the one where it was going to be a 15% chance. He was trying to kick it from 52. And Mullen, had he handballed it off, was probably able to run to about 45 and would have made the distance. So that's the one where you'd love to see him give it off. But the rest of them, I'm happy for him to take the game on.
Did he not give it off because of who it was sweeping past?
Probably. Mullen isn't Morris Rioli.
No.
If that was Cameron sweeping by, or Dangerfield, or Tom Stewart, probably gives it.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. Is he summing it up? Who would you rather having a shot from 50? On the run?
Well, the three you mentioned over Oshie.
No, but Manor or Mullen.
Oh, Manor.
Manor. That's the thing. So he's made a split-second calculated decision, I reckon. Mullen, is it me or Mullen? I'm probably a better chance. The only thing there is Mullen would have gained another 10 metres and made the distance. In the end, Mullen, I have to think back, was it going to go through for a goal? Or was it actually going through for a point?
Okay, no,
I reckon it may have been going through for a goal.
Yeah.
And Plunger, no, Puncher, what's his name?
Yeah, Puncher.
The old Puncher. He marked it like 2 inches in.
Yeah.
Because they had a, didn't they have a review? Was that the one where they had the review?
No, I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon
it's
they had
5 days ago.
I reckon they had a lifestyle review, Kingy, of that one.
Time so, lifestyle resort.
So there's another point. He's made a split-second decision on Mullen or himself, and he's backed himself, which I would be 9.5 times out of 10 backing Manor as well.
Boys, this is from Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Do we take for granted how hard it's going to be to replace Nigel Lappin with him going to Tassie? Kingy, from your knowledge, who will replace him next year? We have discussed that. We're not sure. We'll wait and see how the coaching staff falls. In regards to the last two games, the number 14 just keeps getting better and better. Good to see Big Junk have a standout game as well. Connor O'Sullivan, it's hard to believe, as a key defender, has only played 47 games. Or 46 games.
He's amazing. He's amazing. He's going to be the best. We've said it 100 times. He's going to be the best three defenders in the competition, you know, inside the next sort of probably 18 months, if he's not close to being there already. And I've said it a million times, I maintain if De Koning was playing alongside him as more of your defensive defender on the best player, that would make O'Sullivan even more dangerous, I reckon. And I'm hoping that with the advent of Edwards in the ruck, the possibility of Conway, I know that's a long shot, but the possibility of Conway coming through.
De Koning and O'Sullivan holding up the key defensive posts.
Yeah, that would be my hope going forward. I know De Koning is, and we may look back on De Koning's stint in the ruck, a 2-year stint in the ruck, as the making of him in terms of getting him back on track after sort of being in the wilderness a little bit post the 22 grand final win.
Adrian Mancini, really impressed by Ollie Wiltshire. Thought he had a lot of impact in the last quarter. Yes. Also, Ollie Henry has been really good. Thoughts? Yeah, we can't disagree with any of that.
Well, Wiltshire, the interesting thing there is, Kingy, is he has played well at times when games are on the line.
Yes.
Which is a great sign.
Yep.
He did it, trying to think, was it a couple of weeks ago? He had 5 or 6 touches and kicked some goals late when the game was still there to be won. Mm-hmm. And then he did it again against the Pies. He was really good late. When the game was, you know, in the balance, which is always a really good sign. It's one thing to play well when everything's going your way, but when you're able to have an influence when it's there to be won and the opposition are throwing their best at you is always really good. And he's another one, Kingy, that he's something different to what they've got. He's something different. He's quick. He's different to Dempsey. He's got suddenness about him. He's dangerous around goal. You know, he's a bit more courageous than you probably think.
Mm.
He's happy to throw his body in, which isn't always the case for those types of players.
Yep.
So look, you couldn't be more impressed. Is he maybe get dropped out of the team this year? Possibility, but has he laid the foundations to be a regular senior player with another preseason under his belt next year? You would have thought
changes will be interesting this week. So Dangerfield missed, listed as managed.
He won't play surely.
Sam De Koning.
Well, he
played in the VFL last week.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
He'll probably get dropped from the VFL because they got beaten.
I can't fathom that De Koning isn't in their best team.
Mm.
He'd be top 10 in their BNF.
Mick Howley, the token opener. How would you describe the Cats' mid to forward connection? Is it dial up or is it Bluetooth?
Well, it was dial up. It was non-existent, and there wasn't even a when you used to pick up the phone?
A dial tone.
Yeah, there wasn't even a dial.
There was no signal.
No, there was just nothing there for a little bit. Myers came back in and sort of restored the Bluetooth to maybe 2 bars, and it's still a work in progress, the old connection. I just mentioned it. We've said it before. There's not a lot of players in that team that's their one wood. Yep. Myers is. So that's why he has to stay in the team, and how he was out of the team is still – I scratch various regions of my setup.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.